Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Final hour, you say, with glee. I'm sorry you guys couldn't cut it as a four-hour show and had to be scaled back. I'm sure the pay cut is painful.
It's very painful.
Appreciate your concern.
The less people have to hear with us, apparently, the better it is.
We're going back to a 15-minute PSA eventually.
Yes, we are. But, PK, the good news is Rex Road decided to join us this week for your segment, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's very interesting that Joe's in-season vacation is over. I've been doing this since 95. Can't remember an in-season vacation. A lot of guys on this on this beat and in this market like to go out of town during the season and kick up their feet with their families.
Yep.
Joe, Glennon. I mean, it's an epidemic.
Just chilling
and
on the
so
beach,
I
man.
Hope readers out there know who is committed.
Yeah, PaulKuharski.com.
That's right. That's right.
Special deal.
You get a full commitment.
That's right. So, PK, what did you make of the performance of Dobbs on Thursday against the Cowboys in terms of the confidence that it gives you, that it should give Titans fans heading into this matchup against Jacksonville?
Oh, I don't think it should give you confidence. I mean, it was a nice performance when you measure it on the Malik Willis scale. When you measure it on an NFL quarterback performance scale, I mean, he turned the ball over a couple of times. He got them 13 points. That's not a particularly strong performance. It's just that we had gotten so used to incredibly poor performances that it felt like something bigger than it was. But if he performs in Jacksonville like that, they're not going to win. They can't turn the ball over like they did with Dobbs against Dallas, and their point output is going to have to be bigger. And I'm not trying to diss him because I think he came in and he did a nice job given the circumstances. It's just that the circumstances are so crazy.
Well, yeah, I hear you. I mean, but I also say it's judged on the signed off a practice squad in town for 8 days scale, and from that angle, I was impressed. I totally agree. You can't turn it over, but he also didn't have Derrick Henry.
It's a UT thing, and everybody wants to be happy about it.
Wait, what?
But you've got to cheer it on.
Yes.
It's a UT thing, and everybody wants to be happy.
Exactly.
About it.
Yes, the pom poms are out right now.
GB Joe.
GB Joe. Yeah. No, but seriously, I was impressed. Given all the circumstances, I mean, of course, a step has to be taken. But what step could be taken, Paul, with, well, I mean, Petit Frere back should help some, but Henry in the lineup is the big thing. Take the defense out of it because we all agree it doesn't matter who's at quarterback. The defense has to be great for this team to beat anyone of substance, but Henry back another, 10 days for Dobbs, who we all talked to him yesterday. I mean, the guy is a rocket scientist. I mean, like if you're going to get a practice squad situation – and have to cram for something, this seems like a pretty good guy to go with. What do you think is the ceiling, the upside for this offense in this one game?
I mean, he's a rocket scientist who is on Detroit's practice squad. You know, there's a reason Josh Dobbs hadn't had a start before Thursday night. I mean, the offense, look, I wrote this last night. You got to do the same thing they've been talking about for 6 weeks, and they haven't done. They have to not commit penalties and not have drops and not give up untimely sacks. In this streak, the first drive of every game while they're preaching this, they've had either a penalty or a sack in every game but one, the Jacksonville game. And in the game where they didn't have that, they marched down the field in 10 plays, 76 yards, and scored a touchdown. But Vrabel doesn't seem to get that to me, Joe. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. But he keeps just saying, well, we just have to do these things and we'll be fine, and seems to be disconnected from the fact that in 5 out of 6, they haven't done those things. And throughout the losing streak, he doesn't do those things. He just keeps preaching the same message as if all of a sudden it's going to somehow click in. which I think is, I don't know, it strikes me as naive. Oh, yeah, well, if we just play better and execute better, we'll go down there and we'll win. Everything will change. Well, nothing's changed in six games. I don't understand really this thinking that, oh, yeah, we're just going to go down there and play better and we'll win.
So the alternative is what? Like, we're going to change everything?
They'll play the same that they've been playing and they'll lose.
Right. But I'm just saying, what are you supposed to say? I mean, they, like, you have, in a lot of cases, a lot of guys who are making critical mistakes. I mean, I hear what you say. Ultimately, it goes to the coach, but I don't know what else you're supposed to say. You have to have a better performance from the players who you happen to have on the field, right?
I don't know. Maybe a little reverse psychology. It's a good question. What am I expecting there? But I don't know. Maybe it'd be almost funny and lighten the mood if you say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to false start in the first series, and then we're going to give up a sack, and then we'll punt because that's what we do now.
It's like Costanza. It's like the Costanza approach.
It is this tire. It's a tiresome repetition that clearly hasn't worked. I don't see why there'd be an expectation for it to work now against a team that's more talented. And let's keep in mind, I mean, I don't know how beat up this team. I haven't gone back and looked at it for Cincinnati, and I don't know that that one week off heals Jeffrey Simmons or Amani Hooker or things like that. Obviously, I'm not optimistic. I don't know where people would base their optimism from. Also, I think Jacksonville getting a look, you know, Vrabel downplayed this. This was before you were back in town, obviously. You got a lot of catching up to do. I'll catch you up here.
Thank you.
Downplayed the idea of one game of Dobbs on film making difference. I think that's nonsense. I think Jacksonville sees that Dallas game and has a lot to look at and attack. And no, I think him playing very clean slated against the Cowboys, not necessarily knowing that he was starting on a short week game, is a lot different than Jacksonville having some coaches working on that since Thursday will be.
Paul Koharski with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, I'm not by any circumstance or any means confusing Chig Okonkwo for, you know, a top echelon tight end in this league. But given the ability to run with the football and the plays that he's made, can you explain to me why at this point in the season he got 24.6% of the offensive snaps last time out against Dallas?
No. Well, here's another thing that they keep saying. We're going to get Chig more involved. Would he get 16 snaps in this last game? Maybe that was a rest program for him, a preservation program. But why you wouldn't give Josh Dobbs, when you're trying to give him the best chance you can, access to his best people as frequently as possible, doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me. But maybe they want to go down swinging with, you know, a lot of Jeff Swing, you know, because he's a symbol of the season. So, you know, let's get them all down there. Let's run. Let's see him run, you know, a lot behind Dennis Daly and throw a lot to Jeff Swaim and see if you can't tape up Cody Hollister and get a special exemption, get him off IR and get him out there blocking. Go down with all of the fundamentals of this season on the field.
Go out swaiming, as you might
there's
say.
There's more of my reverse psychology.
Yeah. Keith on the text line says, PK really missed his calling as a motivational speaker. hey, so, okay. All right, I have a question, but first, real quick, on the Dobbs film. So let me ask you this. Do you think there's, when you consider the benefits of having him play versus the drawback of having the other team film on it, how do you weigh those two? Because I think easily better to have him play. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. There's no way you don't play him. I mean, you have to get him as versed as possible. And then, you know, we didn't get into it. You know, it's just such a massive indictment of Willis, I think, with longer range implications than these two games and this season. That a guy can come from a practice squad and overtake him and be the better choice for the team in 9 days. That that's quite an indictment of Willis.
Well, yeah, it's also, I mean, 6 years in a league actually should still count for something. I think Dobbs is also an example of that. But you mentioned long term. That was my question for you. This game, this outcome, do you think, we don't know who the GM's going to be, but do you think that the performance Saturday could actually have an impact on the direction the Titans choose to go after the season?
I would hope not. It shouldn't. I mean, I don't know how big a difference. I would argue there's not a difference really at all in the big picture view of this team if it loses seven in a row or if it loses six out of seven to end the season. And even if it gets in the playoffs and beats a Baltimore or a New England or, less likely to me, a Los Angeles. It's a roster with a lot of problems, a lot of money problems, and there needs to be some dramatic level of rebuilding. And, you know, if they extend Ryan Tannehill, there's going to be a season in the next 3-4 max where you take a huge Ryan Tannehill cap hit in order to get out of it. I'm thinking more and more you should just do it now, though I don't know what the replacement strategy is. But they've got just so much rebuilding to do on the offensive line. Conceivably, 4 out of 5 slots. Receivers are a mess. Defensive backfield needs a ton of work. And they've got to clear so much money. I'm leaning harder and harder to a big rebuild. And if they were to convince themselves that they're better than they are because they find a way on the last day of the season to beat the Jags, it would still be a 7-win team or 8-win team. They're just not very good. And I'd hate for them to convince themselves otherwise.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. Our guest joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for catching Rex Road up, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, Joe, I'm available after the show, which I know is done in about 5 minutes if you want to talk.
What a dose of sunshine, even to add to my beach week. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm like a follow-up beach, they call me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, PK. Appreciate
real
you.
Beach.
Great stuff from Paul Kuharsky. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. Speaking of this game, the AFC South showdown this weekend on Saturday, not Sunday this week, we've got the Tennessee Titans and the Jags. Loser goes home. Listen, the Jags are favored by 6.5 points. I'm going to take the Titans plus the 6.5, but I do think that the Jags will end up winning on the money line. And Superbook Sports wants to help you with your 2023 New Year's resolutions by winning money with them. Who doesn't love that? Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you will get the best odds boost anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boost promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app and place your bets today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live from the 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Today and every day, our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. Thanks to Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com for joining us in the last segment. A little spicy PK this morning.
Jeff from Hendersonville. Paul depressed me. He may be a little down on, life,
Well, it doesn't seem like he thinks
the Titans,
have
in particular
a big chance. I will say the Keith text of Paul really missed his calling as a motivational speaker. That was a good one.
I was hoping he called you Joey when he got on today. I told him yesterday.
I enjoyed the heck out of PK right there. It was fun.
He also, he's the one who asked Joshua Dobbs, and then he on our show just said Josh. It's tough. It's a tough one to kick.
It is.
But we'll keep working on it on this show.
Kenneth on the text line says, PK is awesome. I could listen to him all day. There's from Kenneth on the text line.
That's refreshing relative to other comments. But thank you, PK. What do you think about, I mean, I think the big picture assessment is fair. I don't know that I necessarily agree with him, but I get the, I mean, I get the pessimism.
Well, look, I agree from the standpoint of whether they make the playoffs and lose the first game in the playoffs or whether they lose right now, you know, is it really going to change the outlook of the decisions that you have to make this offseason all that much? To me, no. I mean, it's not. I mean, you're, to his point, you're talking about an 8-win football team where you still got to figure out, do you want to bring Ryan Tannehill back as your quarterback? Do you got to figure out, do you want to continue to pay Derrick Henry the amount of money you're paying him at running back? I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be in the hands of the next GM or Vrabel or a combination of the two when they're making decisions on what the roster looks like. So from that standpoint, I agree with what he's saying there. I mean, the question we threw out there earlier was, does this result change the path that they're taking, or have they already kind of made up their minds on that? Like, I do wonder, like, with the Amy Adams Strunk decision to fire John Robinson, was that her telling us the path that they're getting ready to take?
See, and he said, I hope that this wouldn't influence them. And we can all say that stuff, but the thing is, you actually get to the game and you go through it. And first of all, you can't tell me that Amy Adams Strunk isn't influenced by results on field, okay? And that, which is fine. I mean, if I owned a sports team, that would matter to me. That information would matter to me. So let's go to the game, and let's see the Titans rise up, and let's see Jeffrey Simmons blow their offensive lineup, and Danico Autry and sack Trevor Lawrence, and Kevin Byard get a big pick, and Derrick Henry run for 140 yards, and the Titans kick the crap out of the Jaguars and say, nope, it's our division still. We won three in a row. The nucleus of this team is still powerful. The culture of this team is still strong. You're telling me that as opposed to go out there and lose by two touchdowns and, okay, the Jags own this division now, you tell me that information over 3 hours Saturday night is going to have any influence on how you look at things? I reject that. Well, I think it's very important.
I'm not saying that it won't have any new added information in terms of making that decision. I'm just saying, like, to me, the decisions that you have to make don't change based off the results, right? Like, you still have to decide whether or not Ryan Tannehill is going to be your quarterback. You still have to decide whether or not you want to keep going with Derrick Henry. Now, and that's the tough part about this, because if that happens, it's without Ryan Tannehill quarterback, right? Like, it's still – I mean, he's probably done for the year, barring – I mean, they still got one IR
spot
left,
baby. They do have one left. They've
got
one
left. So, I guess until that one's – spoken for, there's a chance that he could come back, but he's probably done for the year. So, I mean, that decision you're just going to have to make this offseason. Now, to your point, does the mind start to wander a little bit if you do make the playoffs? Let's say you win a playoff game and you do it with Joshua Dobbs. After doing what you just said.
Right.
And then you think about, well, what if Tannehill was healthy? What if you did stay healthier next year?
What if you can fix the offensive line? The hard part there is you're fixing a lot of an offensive line in one offseason. A whole bunch of other teams in this league really want to fix their offensive line. But, yeah.
I don't know that – that's the thing I keep going back to in this. I don't know that fixing the offensive line in one offseason is possible.
But it is possible to improve it. I mean, fix.
God,
you're not,
I hope so.
You're not getting back to 2019-2020. No way in one offseason. But can you be better than this? Yeah.
I mean, you almost don't have to try to be better than this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? What does one more weapon mean? And then do you have enough on defensive? Because to make some of these moves, you do have to cut. I mean, like Bud Dupree, I think you just have to just – that's it. It was a mistake.
But then to your point earlier, if that's – and I agree with you. But then you got to go find somebody else. Like, you got to go find another edge rusher. Because, I mean, look, maybe they just think it's as simple as it's Rashad Weaver, and it's Rashad Weaver on one side, and it's Harold Landry on the other.
You got to have maybe, one other
but you got to have somebody else in there.
Yeah. Well, and DeMarcus Walker has been a nice kind of piece to move around. But yes, you have to have another young, relatively high pick, I think, at edge.
Well,
if you do this,
look, and I said it heading into this season, and he proved me wrong. But one of the concerns I had heading into this season was, DeNico Autry's 32 years old. How's he going to hold up? Well, he did get hurt, but when he's been on the field, he's pretty darn good holding up. He'll be 33 next year. Like, at some point, that's going to start to go the other way with DeNico Autry.
But he's another one of those. At some point, pretty soon, Derrick Henry. At some point, DeNico Autry. At some point, Kevin Byard. I mean, I think that you could look at next year and say, one more year of Byard, one more year of Henry, one more year of Autry. Run it back. You could say that. Ryan Tannehill, you get your opportunity to prove that the Cincinnati playoff game Tannehill is not the real Tannehill. Here's a better offensive line. I think you can make a case for that. Some people don't want that, and I get that too. But this is where I think, and it's way easier to say, nah, move on if they go get their butts kicked Saturday in Jacksonville. And it's way harder, I think. I'm talking fans now, but I mean, that's what I mean. Amy Adams Strunk is sitting there in the box hoping she sees good football. And it's been a long time. And if you get it at this moment when everybody's just basically giving it to the Jags, they're going to win the division, I can't believe that she wouldn't be influenced by that.
I do. One thing that PK brought up that I do wonder about, and we've talked about this, the Malik Willis and what this means for his future. We've talked about it. He shouldn't have played this year. We all understand that at this point. And then you factor in, the Peter King, I don't know if report is the right word, but what he said over the weekend about, maybe Mike Vrabel being out on Malik Willis at this point. Like, it does make me question what does Malik Willis's future look like here with the Titans?
Yeah, I agree. Now, I disagree. I think Kaharski went a little overboard. Shocking, I know. On the, this is an indictment of Willis. Again, Willis shouldn't have taken a snap this year. And this goes to the John Glennon argument. Like, well, God, it's 6 years and he's never had a start. Well, right. He's been a backup in the league. He didn't have the opportunity to have a start. You can't tell me that many years in the league doesn't help someone. It should. Like, if you're doing your job correctly, you are improving. You are still improving your trade. Just because you don't start and we don't see you play football, that's all you do. You play football. You're telling me all these years, especially for a guy like Josh Dobbs with his work ethic and intelligence and everything, that he didn't get better over the years? I think it's more about him finally getting a chance and showing to some extent that he deserved it than it is, oh, it's an indictment of Willis. This guy's never had a start. I think that's kind of a silly take, actually.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Derrick Henry. He's 29 years old today. So happy birthday to Derrick Henry.
How about that?
There you go.
So there you go. So a year from now, will the Titans be celebrating his 30th birthday as they head toward the playoffs?
It's a good question.
Or will they be watching him from afar?
Well, that is a good question as well. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair. We will do that coming up next. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 8:45. Your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate, once again, is tomorrow morning at 8:45. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. A little bit different with the show format change, moving it to 8:30 this time around. So with that in mind, Michelle Knezevic, you're in the questions chair. I turn things over to you.
Okay, fellas, where do we want to start? Non-sports or sports?
Sports. There we go.
Okay, let's start with sports. Okay, Joshua Dobbs started for the Tennessee Titans after being in the building for about 8 days. If you had just 18 days to start for any professional sport, which one do you think you would be the best at?
I think mine would be baseball. Fully recognizing that it's very difficult to do, but I played baseball for 15 years, so I feel like I could at least have a fighting chance to maybe potentially do something. Potentially make contact with a ball at some point. Maybe via bunt. I've been working on my speed, my lateral quickness, burst. Maybe lay a bunt down third baseline. Sacrifice bunt. Feel like I could do it. Baseball is my answer.
I was most successful as a baseball player too, but I haven't seen a fastball in like 32 years. And that's like, you know, high school fastballs. Yeah.
My buddy used to pitch in there. I used to catch him.
Yeah, so you – yeah.
I
so, so you – why you, you – and your time frame is a lot shorter too. I think I'm going to go hoops. Basically just
– NBA Rex.
Yeah. I mean, look, man.
Corner three.
I can hit a three for you. I can get out there and give you maybe the fouls to give. You know, I can slap somebody.
Fouls to give.
I mean, look, I think football – I mean, obviously what he's doing would be – as fun as it would be, it would be very difficult.
Incredibly difficult.
Plus, yeah. I'm not getting hit.
Yeah.
Well,
that too.
So I was thinking about this and trying to figure out like niche sports, and I'm like ping pong, and then I'm like watching professional ping pong. Absolutely not.
No chance. Man.
But I'm pretty unathletic, so I really do think that basketball would maybe be my only chance, but I'm not allowed to handle the ball. I have to stand in the corner and only can shoot threes.
Okay.
Or just jumpers. But it's a really hard one. I give a lot of credit to these professional athletes we cover.
Are we counting cornhole?
Because
if it's cornhole, if cornhole can count, then I'll switch to that.
No.
Okay.
All right. No, I don't think. But listen, I'm sure you are great at cornhole, Rex Road.
Not curling.
Give me 18 days to like get serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like not have a buzz while doing it. Got a chance.
Okay, there you go. Okay, switching to non-sports. This came up because I discovered mine recently. What is a random talent that you have? Like something completely random that you can do. I can go first with this if you guys need me to.
Okay.
Okay, so I am really good at halfway through a movie, halfway through a show, being able to pick up on context clues and figure out the exact ending of the movie or exactly what is about to happen. And I have proof. Ask Ryan. He's like, I feel like in Ozark, we're watching White Lotus right now, which highly recommend on HBO Max. It's a mystery. I get to a point in the movie and I'm like, I know exactly what's going to happen. And I will lay it out and then it happens. And I feel like I'm a little bit psychic, but maybe I'm giving myself too much credit. But that's my random talent.
Katie Rexroad is right there with you. Although her number one skill is getting a table at a crowded bar or restaurant.
Okay.
And like beating a bunch of people out for it.
It's that's a good skill.
It's incredible how good she is. I have none. Go ahead.
You have no talent? I am potentially the world's greatest Mario Kart player on Nintendo 64.
Ooh, okay. That's a good one.
Okay. And by potentially, I mean the world's greatest player of Mario Kart on Nintendo 64. There have been times in my past where I've sat at certain establishments that have the game and just sat there, had a few beverages, and just ran people out of there for about 3 hours. This happened in my younger days. Haven't done it in a while, but the world's greatest Mario Kart 64 player.
That's strong.
Who's your character you choose?
Most time, just Mario. But I can play with anybody. Bowser, you name it.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Well, I guess, you know what? One thing I was going to say is I'm really good at spelling. I mean, like, I'm just a really good speller.
That's good for a writer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's not that interesting. But I correct people's
spelling. Could you do the spelling bee? Used to love watching that stuff.
Well, I came in third in the county spelling bee in Prince William County in Virginia, which was, like, on the path to, like, I was not as good as those kids. But the top two, you get to miss one. And then you keep going back and forth, right? But the third, I think I was the best one that day. Whatever. Now we brought
what
back
What was up. The word? You definitely
was,
know the word.
It was enzyme. which is not that hard of a word, but I hadn't gotten to it in science yet. I was in fifth grade, and the guy, again, it was in Virginia, said enzyme.
Enzyme.
And, so I'm blaming him, but yeah. But I will say.
Use that in a sentence, please.
Yeah, did that, didn't matter. Super Tecmo Bowl, though. I would be willing to take on just about anybody in Super Tecmo Bowl.
There we go.
With David Fulcher as my safety. You don't know what this is, Nintendo?
There's no chance.
Dude, you never heard of Tecmo Bowl? I mean, come on. You've heard people talk about Tecmo Bowl. Okay, well, Super Tecmo Bowl is the height of video games in the history of mankind, but hey, no big deal.
Okay, we'll just have to have, we'll do Mario Kart, and then we'll have a Tecmo Bowl show playoff, okay?
All right. People don't want that smoke.
Okay. Okay, switching back to sports, Titans and Jags obviously fighting for a playoff spot. It's basically a playoff game because whoever loses is going home. Is there? It can be any sport. It can be NFL playoffs. It can be March Madness. It can be any type of postseason play where you've seen your team lose in a heartbreaking fashion.
Oh, I mean, mine is last year.
That was the...
It was the Packers and the Niners. It was awful. Just terrible.
That's the... Okay, so you're talking the absolute...
The absolute...
Worst.
Gut-wrenching,
yeah.
Worst,
I mean, that was it for me.
Loss.
Yeah, it was bad.
Didn't happen that the Bengals and Titans won, too.
Yeah, I mean, the same day. The same night. The Bengals took down the Titans, and then the Niners took down the Pack last year. I mean, I've talked about it. I stayed up staring at my wall until like 1:30 in the morning.
Well, I've talked about brutal. This too, but I mean it. I mean,
I know what yours is.
Well, still, and there's a bunch. I mean, the Favre one against the Lions,
yeah.
With Barry. The Lions were better that year, and they lost at home to them. But I'm going to go with my 11th birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big part of, you know. And again, grandparents' house, folding chairs, New Year's Eve party. My birthday's on New Year's Eve. Lions should have beaten the Niners, but Gary Danielson threw 5 freaking interceptions, and still they had a 43-yard field goal to win and get to the NFC Championship game, and Eddie Murray missed a 43-yard field goal. Thanks for bringing this up. And this is a painful day on the show, and I jumped, and I
yield.
And I took those folding chairs, and I threw them, and I threw myself on the couch crying.
So you both hate the Niners.
Thanks a lot, Lions.
You both hate the Niners forever.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
Pretty much.
Damn Niners.
Well, mine is none other than in 2017, March Madness. I'm in a house on a huge, we're watching on a huge screen, Kentucky, UNC, Malik Monk hits a shot with like 7 seconds left to go up. And then Luke freaking May. I'm like, oh my gosh, 5 seconds left. There's no way. And then I in slow motion can still feel in every part of my body, my jaw dropping when I just see him jump in the air and the ball is floating and then it perfectly just swish. And then it's like 2 seconds, they inbound the ball and then the game is over. And I'm like, did that just happen? Absolutely awful. And also, he's Drake May, UNC quarterback's brother.
Yeah.
Which I just figured out. So
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Elite athletes at UNC.
God. Well, he's a much better athlete than Luke. Drake is. I'm surprised that it's not Wisconsin. The Wisconsin win 2 years earlier. That's a little bit surprising.
So that
to me.
Was.
Two great coaching jobs by Cal.
I was on my college visit that weekend.
So it wasn't quite as personal.
It wasn't quite as personal yet.
I got you. Yep. Because that would have been, I think.
Oh for sure.
Because that was one of the greatest teams ever.
Yeah, okay. Yep,
sorry.
Got it. And
sorry.
Devin Booker was a 6th man on that team. Okay, switching over to non-sports guys. Lastly, we've talked about nicknames. We know that Joshua Dobbs does not like to be referred to as Josh. It's Joshua. What was a nickname that you absolutely hated when you were growing up?
Well, I got a trophy one time in Little League Baseball. That instead of Robbie Stanley or Robert Stanley, called me Robes Starley. So I still
Please
have
tell
that.
Me you have it.
Oh, I've got it. It's Robes Starley. So my father proceeded to call me Robes Starley at times for really the remainder of my life.
Oh,
so that one's a fun one. Robes, like you're making the trophy. You not look down and say, Robes Starley. Doesn't sound like a real name. Maybe we ought to double check. See what we're putting on the trophy.
Yes, Honor Landry.
Yes. Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have done stuff with my name. Sex Road, Sex Toad, Rex blah, blah, blah. Rex put in any word. So I, but
Joe nothing. Rule.
Yeah, that's a good one. But actually, we talked about this yesterday. Joey is what I used to hate. I hated it then. I hated Joey. My whole family called me Joey. Call me Joe. I'm Joe. Now, call me Joey.
Call him Joey. Restore the youth in you, Joe. Okay, mine is Shelly.
Restore the youth.
I feel like Ooh. When you are young, like it's Ooh. Michelle. I hated
Shelly.
It. Shelly. I like Shell, but the E, like Shelly, it would be like Shelly Belly, and I'm like, no, absolutely not.
Wow.
Shelly Perry. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I would not even have thought to call you that. But now, I kind of like it.
Shell is fine. Like, Shell. Hey, Shell. Like, some of my girlfriends call me that.
I mean, Chase and Shell.
Oh, God. No. But it's
be on something.
Chasey and Shelly?
Shelly and Chase.
Oh, gosh.
Shelly's Chili.
Okay, I'm going to end on that note. All the right. choice is yours.
You can check it out every Wednesday morning now at 8:30 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll give our final thoughts of the day on the Titans and the Jags coming up this weekend. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win great prizes, you can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Make sure you tune in for NFL pregame this Saturday, live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, located at 1634 Galleria Boulevard. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Andrews and Derek Mason from 4:30 to 6:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Seth really enjoys every time you tell the Gary Danielson story. And I got to be honest with you, so do I. It's amazing every time.
Yeah, it's probably been told too many times. But, hey, I mean, it's just what comes to mind. Freaking Gary Danielson. Get Eric Hipple in there. Get your ass out of the game, Danielson.
It's kind of amazing. Five interceptions. Five picks and had a chance to win the game. Don't see that very often. I mean, back then.
And to his credit, he did drive them down, for a 43-yard field goal. Eddie Murray, make a 43-yard freaking field goal.
When it mattered the most, Danielson came through.
Seth says, most Titans fans say Super Bowl 34. 11-year-old me cried and cried after that loss. I'm sure people of a certain age, that's got to be, right?
That's a bad one.
Great performance, great comeback in the second half, great game. But, it's
trying to think about how many different Tennessee Volunteers experiences you can put on this list. There's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I've got plenty of Detroit Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, even, some Red Wings. I mean, we all have stuff. We all have our baggage.
Lots of Lions.
Well, I mean, that's basically most of it, which is why it's so great to be free of that franchise. Go, Pack. Go, Pack, go.
Wow. Clip that one up.
That's fine.
Play that one up.
I'm all
time.
In on the Packers. I will be watching and rooting for every snap that they just obliterate the Lions Sunday night.
We'll see what happens on that front. It is weird that the Lions will already know their fate before then. Well, at least know that what their fate has an opportunity
it's so dumb.
To be.
Like, it's seriously so dumb in the NFL. I don't think we've made enough of that point. It's very simple. You make that the Saturday primetime game, they both are playing for the playoffs. And then Seattle has the fairness of the Lions having full incentive.
Yeah.
Instead.
Although, you got Dan Campbell as your head coach. The Lions are going to be fired up either way to go, man. They'll be ready to go.
That's true.
Spoil the Packers season.
I mean, but you can't tell me. Well, who knows? I'm sure will it actually affect, if the Seahawks win and the Lions are eliminated? Because then the Seahawks are like, crap, now the Lions are eliminated and we need them to win.
Yeah.
But are the Lions going to affect their performance? It might.
It might. We'll see.
You hope so. You're glad the NFL's idiotic on this.
I think it's a great decision by the NFL. I think they've done a phenomenal job on this point.
Like, I understand that Lions Packers is more attractive to the TV nation, you know, than they're just bigger fan bases than Jags Titans. But
yes,
Jags Titans should be the Sunday night game.
Too late.
Yeah, I know.
Too late. Speaking of Jags and Titans, interested to see the injury report today. We talked about it earlier in the show, Joe. Only one person didn't practice yesterday. Simmons, Hooker, go up and down the list. Lots of limited participation yesterday. And Denico Autry, a full participant with the biceps injury, and Derrick Henry with the hip that he was dealing with, also a full participant. So, honestly, the best-looking injury report the Titans have had in some time yesterday. And we'll see if that continues today.
Yeah, and what you look for, which all often happens, is we'll start a week out this year, and it's like, here's the rundown of the injury report, and then a couple days in, there's some new name on it.
So yeah.
Who's the new name?
Hopefully no one.
Right.
I mean, that'd be great.
If nothing, yeah, if no one gets hurt in practice this week, then, yeah, they're trending toward their healthiest roster. Again, understanding all the guys on IR. I mean, without Tannehill, you can't say the healthiest roster, but they're definitely their healthiest defensive lineup in a long time.
Even though I was expecting / hoping to see David Long Jr. activated for his window to return yesterday, and not seeing that yesterday, Joe, kind of makes me think that probably not happening on Saturday night.
I wouldn't think so. I guess it could happen today, but I don't know why he wouldn't have been just activated to return yesterday, and just, yeah, I would think he's out. So I would think that one return will just stand this week, and they'll see if they get to the playoffs. That's probably the most likely thing would be if they can find a way to win, then he would be the return next week for the playoff game.
Or Ryan Tannehill.
Or, that's true. Well, Tannehill can't next week.
That's true, he can't. Well, AFC title game.
Yeah.
Keep it open.
So watch out, Chiefs.
Vrabel's playing chess.
Tannehill.
Here comes Tannehill. Although I talked about it. I mean, if Dobbs gets you there, you making the switch then? Now we're really getting out there.
Yeah, I mean, we're really, yeah, let's just
really
let's have it. A, yeah, let's talk
if
some.
If Dobbs takes them to the AFC title game, do you leave him in or do you go with Tannehill?
Yeah, let's talk Tolkien novels.
And then who do you put in when they make it to the Super Bowl after they win that game?
You have to
they
go, both you play. Have to go 2 QB in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I think, for sure.
I agree.
Actually, 3 QB. Willis is on the team. You can use all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever they play in.
I mean,
the Lions. The Lions won't know what hit them in that Super
yes.
Bowl. Okay.
What a Super Bowl that'll be.
Mike Vrabel did say earlier this week that Malik is going to have to do something to help him win on Saturday. So
well,
I don't know what that means.
In all seriousness, what he has to do is he has to give them the best possible look at Trevor Lawrence and the Jags offense when they do team. When they do, I mean, that's his job this week. Show team. I call it scout team. But that is. That's his. And look, he's got tools that can give you a look like a Trevor Lawrence.
Sure.
You know, when you have him on the scout team, you don't care if he throws picks.
Yeah. Wes in Clarksville asking, have they said how the Bills-Bengals game will work, how that will affect the playoffs? They have announced that there will be no rescheduling of the game for this week for Buffalo and Cincinnati. So no news yet on what exactly that's going to look like.
Yeah. What would be the option is what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't know.
I mean, they can't – they're not going to try to shoehorn it in before the playoffs, right?
I mean, I wouldn't think so. I don't know. But, I mean technically – the Bengals haven't won their division yet, so I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean that really is, and obviously secondary, it really is.
Of course,
it really is an interesting situation, like how they're going to deal with that. You know, one more thing. I know we got to get out. Well, we got to get out. Whatever. I'll keep that one more thing for tomorrow.
We'll keep
how about
it
that?
We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, the game.